designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, it's Loveline. Dr. Drew here. The phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight's guest, Heidi Fleiss. She's rejoining us tonight in spite of the nefarious experience we had last time when we made references to LAPD and their interesting habits and had to form a retraction. And all that will come up, I'm sure, tonight when Heidi gets here. Heidi is running late. Adam is running late.
I'm sorry, Drew. She's out front. She's waiting for a publicist to get money so she can pay for the cab. Couldn't she sit in the cab out front?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That adds a sort of an extra layer of reality here. We must be really cool, right, as a radio show?
Dude, we are so cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
Despite Adam.
He'll be here in just a second. And in the meantime, I want to just go to some calls. So here we go. This is Lauren, 20.
Hello.
Hey, Lauren, what's going on?
Oh, just a lot.
All right, let's go.
I was with a guy for 3 years.
Yeah.
Off and on, a little rocky. He'd cheated on me a couple of times, and we thought we were over that. And then, I guess around September, we went about a month and a half without talking, and I cheated on him.
All right.
And then...
What kind of relationship is that, by the way, where you don't speak for 6 weeks?
That's when I just knew it was over completely.
Oh. Hey, Lauren, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. Heidi just got in here.
That's fine.
Did you pay the cabbie? You're here. Heidi, over here. Over here. All right. You all right?
Yeah, I hope I don't lose 100 grand this time.
No, I know. I was just referring to that. I'm surprised you came back. Here, wait, hang on. We're actually on the air right now.
Oh, we are?
We are, indeed.
I'm trying to show this
cell phone. Put this on. There you go.
Hey, Dr. Drew, what's
happening? Hey, Heidi, how are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So, yeah, why don't we relive the experience that you went through last time you were here?
Oh, you know...
Or can you?
Of course. Nick Broomfield was promoting that documentary he did on me, The Hollywood Madam.
Yeah.
And I really didn't want to come that night. I was in a bad mood. I was going through a lot of troubles. And
you seemed great, though. I mean, you were pleasant.
But some people were offended by what I said, and I got in big, big trouble.
That's awful.
$100,000. It'd be a long time before I see that.
Oh, my God.
And it's a long line.
Awful. Well, thank you for coming back, nonetheless.
Well, it's not your guys' fault. You know, who knows why people do certain things. And
Are you sort of, is there anything else hanging over your head that way? Any more legal problems?
Or? Pretty much that's it.
You're done. You've started over. You can put that all behind.
My probation's over next month.
Hallelujah.
After 10 years.
Oh, my God. And life is good now, or...
Oh, yeah. This is pandering. Publishing is my passion.
How about you still do the Heidi Ware stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I have 6 other titles, books coming out in the next 2 years.
Fantastic.
And you'll like them, Dr. Drew. 2 are self-help books.
Excellent. Why do you call that pandering, though? Pandering is sort of a negative connotation to it.
No, the reason I called it pandering, it took me 10 years to think of the title, obviously.
Oh, pandering's the name of the book?
Pandering's my first book.
You haven't seen it yet? I know you have a book. I've not seen it, no. I've talked to people who love it, by the way.
Someone better bring
a copy. No, actually, a friend of mine brought a copy and wants you to sign. He loves it.
Oh, is he the one outside with the two? He had 2 books outside?
No, that was a stalker.
That was a stalker. No,
oh,
no,
God,
no,
I thought he was with the studio.
No. We have what we call spluzers here.
Oh, it's, God. I thought he was at the studio. He wanted me to sign it this way, sign it that way.
Oh, God.
But I signed it. And my book is called Pandering, and the reason why I called it Pandering is because nowadays we only hear pandering in the context of a politician is pandering to the crowd or someone is arrested for pimping and pandering. So there's a lot of politics behind the word. So
interesting.
It's a great book. It's really...
That's what I actually heard that.
People it's really, unconventional. Yeah. Very unconventional. And I'm very passionate about it. It's the most passionate thing I've... project or work I've ever felt about.
And the other 6 books are coming out, is that right?
Yeah.
And what are they on? They said 2 are self-help.
Yeah, self-help. 1 for men and 1 for women, obviously on relationships. 1 called The Beverly Hills Tutor, and it's this really beautiful girl. She has a master's from UCLA in literature.
And it's a story. It's a true story.
It's a true story about the tutoring in Beverly Hills. And the stories, I would be like, well, you know him? I knew him.
Oh, interesting.
So they're very interesting stories. And it's all the juicy stuff you want to hear. So the Beverly Hills Tutor will be coming out. And then I have the reincarnation of Prince Machiavelli, Tupac Shakur. And it's a really good writer who just parallels their lives. And it's kind of like a like the modern-day battle at Caesar's Palace that Tupac Shakur was in.
Yeah.
The battle of Prince Machiavelli is.
And you wrote this with a...
No, I have a writer doing it who's just really very smart, very, very smart
guy. This was your idea, or you were sort of the...
It was just a collaboration.
Oh, interesting.
I was in prison. I noticed one day, this is when I was in A&O, I don't know what it is.
What's A&O?
I think it's arrival and orientation or something like that. It's a horrible place. It's where you live. You have to live with four people in a little room until you get assigned to a room. But I noticed this one girl every night, she'd reach under her bunk and had like this special velvet fabric. I don't know where she got it or where it came from. And then she would open this fabric up and take out this book, and it was photos of Tupac Shakur.
Oh, interesting.
And she would just like look at him and study him, and then she'd like polish it all back up and put it back. And I noticed that there is definitely a phenomenon about him. And
interesting.
Then this writer saw us.
Are you still close with your family, family of origin?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And you have five brothers and sisters?
Six children.
I didn't realize that. What are they all doing now?
Well, my younger brother, Jesse, he's the youngest in the family. He did the whole layout for my book.
Oh, wow. So publishing. What's sort of the spectrum of what they're in?
My oldest sister is a veterinarian. My other sister is a social worker. My other younger brother is a doctor in Oregon. And did I skip anyone?
So they're all over the place. They're all kinds of things. So.
Yeah.
And you're close with them still.
Of course. We grew up I was lucky. A blessed childhood. Stability and love. So don't blame the parents.
And so, all right, Adam's going to be here in just a second. Let's take some calls in the meantime, shall we?
Someone's calling for me.
Well, I think they will. So, Lauren, here we are.
Okay,
so Lauren has a sort of an abusive on-again, off-again relationship. Guy cheated twice, then she cheated. They speak to each other.
One word. They hit you once.
Not physically abusive. Not physically
okay,
abusive.
Okay, they cheat on you once. They cheat on you twice.
Right.
Bottom line.
Cheaters cheat.
Yeah.
If they hit you once, if they cheat on you once, they cheat on you twice, and they hit you twice. Don't hang around.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. If any guy was ever touched me, I'd be gone.
All right,
well cheating,
so
you
where
move on.
Where are we tonight?
Well, I have always been the faithful type of person. You know, I've seen everybody get in relationships.
What's the question tonight?
I ended up getting pregnant.
With the cheat?
I don't know.
Well, get rid of the baby.
I already did.
And good girl.
It's not right.
You're depressed.
I'm buried. I'm gone.
You're depressed?
Now, Heidi, why do you jump to that right away?
Because she just was a traumatic experience. Her hormones are going crazy. She had
have you ever had an abortion?
Of course.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I really believe that when women have an abortion, way more goes on biologically in terms of what causes this sense of loss than people make of it. That there's some sort of very intense biological change, even if you're a month pregnant.
Absolutely. When you have a pregnancy terminated, and I mean, even if it's for sure you don't want it like that, your body goes through some weird...
So you were attached to it in some way, and it feels a lot.
You just go through a weird change. I don't know if you're attached to it. It's just your hormones. Like you get depressed. You act weird.
Yeah, yeah.
You can shake.
All right. So there we are, Lauren. Here you are. So what's up tonight?
Well, I've been put on some depression medicine.
Which one?
Wellbutrin.
Okay.
Quit that.
For the daytime to help me get going.
Start jogging.
I just can't get up out of bed. I just don't want to get up.
Listen, you understand. You remember the women that put all our kids in the bathtub?
You're right.
That's what happened.
Do you have any close friends?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another problem. My best friend, her baby, my goddaughter, was 21 months old, and she died a week after I had my abortion. So
a crib death?
No, she went
Down.
She went in for an eye surgery, and it killed her.
Okay. All right, listen. So you were asking about what? How to deal with the depression?
Yeah. I'm seeing a psychiatrist and a psychologist, but it just doesn't seem like it's working.
How old are you again?
20.
Right. Oh, come on. You got the whole world out there. You got to pull yourself together.
Well, and sometimes, as you've mentioned, Heidi, the biological changes of pregnancy are so profound that you can't do it. It's just the biology kicks in, but... Look, depression is completely treatable with medication. You should be able to find something that works for you. You should stay with the psychiatrist and keep working on this. You should expect remission of your symptoms. You really should.
But also listen to this. If you're depressed, you must change something in your life or else you will stay depressed. You got to change something. Get up. Take a walk around the block. Just change one thing or else you're going to stay in the same cycle.
That's good advice. This is Brittany, 19.
Hi. First of all, I absolutely love you and Adam. I've been watching, or I watched your show when it was on MTV.
Is that Dr. Drew or me?
I was talking to Dr. Drew.
She likes Heidi, too. What about Heidi? Was she chopped liver?
I love Heidi.
I love Heidi.
No, actually, I always thought that your story was really interesting. And, yeah. But, no, I've learned pretty much everything about sex from Loveline, so.
Thank you.
Thanks,
and all the right things, too.
Good.
So, yeah.
Hey, Adam. Brittany loves you, and she learned everything she knows about sex from you. And me.
Good.
Brittany, I agree. They're a great combination of yin and yang. Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, it's Adam's got the humor and Drew's got the sense.
Yeah. If you're talking about change, he's got sense.
A sense of humor.
Hey, he's got some zingers in on you, so.
All right, so Brittany, what's up now?
Okay. All right. I'm a virgin.
Yeah.
And I have.
19.
I'm 19.
Okay. Wow.
But I have had. I've given oral sex. I've never received it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
good girl.
See, I masturbate on a regular basis.
Excellent.
Or I used to. It's just not, I don't get off anymore.
You don't have orgasms?
No.
What's changed?
I have no clue.
You masturbate with your hand or toys?
Hand. I don't have enough money for toys.
We're thinking that she desensitizes.
The Hitachi herself? Magic Wand, $20.
Yeah.
Never lets you down. Put you right to bed.
When you use it as much as Heidi, right, it's pennies an hour is what it works out to be, right?
It pays for itself.
Have you started any medication?
No.
Vitamins or herbs?
Why don't
like
you try and have real sex?
Well, see, that's what I was going to ask. See, I wanted to know if I had sex, is it because I want to or is it because I'm trying to compensate for,
Maybe what's lacking is sort of that emotional connectedness that some women need in order to function sexually. Maybe, if you find an intimate... Some women do. If you find an intimate...
Heidi.
Not Heidi. But if you find an intimate connection, maybe that would get things going again.
But why are you still a virgin at the ripe old age of 19?
Are you saving it for that blessed wedding day?
No, actually, I'm saving it because this town is full of idiots.
Oh,
and,
I get it.
And most of them... Seriously, most of them have either HIV or, STDs. Or
really? Then stick with the masturbation.
Yeah.
Most of the town has HIV.
We want to know not to go there.
Okay, we had a blood drive, and they did drug tests and sexual disease tests. And, I think 74% of high school and whoever came were HIV positive.
Did they do that movie Kids out of there?
Wait a minute. Where are you?
Palos
Bakersfield.
Where are you?
I'm in Texas.
Where in Texas? That's a big state.
East Texas. It's
74% of the high schoolers aren't HIV positive.
It's only four kids showed up or IV drug using.
Why don't you move to a different town? And
well, see, I am. In about a month, I'm going to move to Dallas.
Aren't you going to college and everything?
Not yet. I was taking a year off.
Okay,
I had to take care of my grandmother. So.
Well, go to a different school where there's hot, sexy guys. Get out of there.
Right, Adam?
Yeah. I'm still reeling from the 74% HIV.
There's no way that's accurate.
Not
unless like three people went.
Heidi, hold your ears for a second. But true, whenever you ask for a woman about size or aspect ratio or any numbers or any statistics, it's always screwed. It's all left up, isn't it?
I like the crazy statistics.
It's not the number so much. It's the estimating part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Bakersfield comment.
Well, that's why they can't do the parking. We can't do the parallel parking. The ability to
that's
estimate.
Right. No depth perception, women.
There we go. All right. This is George is 21. George?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, my question is, I think my girl's cheating on me, and I'm just curious as to, what I should look for. I've already seen a couple different things. And
like what?
Well, this one's the most recent. I just found this out today. She went to the doctors, and she might have genital warts.
How long have you been with her?
It's been almost a year now, 8 or 10 months.
So she may have contracted that before you, or maybe she got it from you.
No, I've never shown that I have.
Yeah, you don't have to see them. You could still carry the virus.
Do you care if she's cheating?
Oh, yeah, I do.
What's the other evidence? What makes you think?
Well, when I first started dating her, she used to get up on my roommate a lot.
It's Heidi. Heidi's still
got to ring twice before you make the move.
Unacceptable.
Jesus Christ!
I tried to set it up before I came in.
She's got like a fireman's flak coat on. I mean, she's got.
I was out in the rain.
Four layers of clothing.
You drive a $120,000 car and it gets a flat tire over a pebble, sir. You know what? Have you asked the girl if she's cheating on you?
money, and she denies it up and down.
And
I mean,
and so what is the evidence? What makes you believe she's doing this?
Well, along with her trying to do stuff with my roommate, I mean, she didn't, like, actually do anything, but she flirted, and then she swore up and down she was just playing. She has cheated on me before. According to her, she said all she did was fool around with this.
All right, hold on. Shut Heidi's mic off, would you?
She's
okay,
digging through her
price. It's like
Mr. Whoopi's closet here.
Yeah. And furthermore, what $120,000 car are you driving, Heidi?
It was the president calling.
What car?
I shut it off.
Well, he wants to know what the car is you're driving.
It's a Carrera 4, a brand new one. Now, wait. She's cheated on, she's on you. She's flirted with the roommate.
That's an $80,000 car. That's not $120,000.
When you make the payments.
All right. Oh, when you're done. Yeah, if you do it on time.
Hey, but Heidi, you said cheaters cheat. It's not just, that's just not in reference to men. Women's the same thing.
Of course.
Yeah,
but
so
I want to find out why is he...
She knows that she has cheated in the past.
Why is he with her, though? I mean, why are you still with her if you know that she has this type of behavior?
Adam. I guess I loved her.
No. Adam, why? Tell her why.
Listen, $80,000, maybe 77 sticker on that Carrera 4, you know what I'm saying? A 120, you're getting into the turbo range. That's all I'm saying.
I'll sell it right now. It has a flat tire. It only has 9,000 miles
on it. So educate Heidi. Why is George with his cheating girlfriend?
Oh, I don't know. He's naive. He can't do any better.
You're stuck on it.
He's schlubby. She's taking advantage of him.
Exactly. There you go. Sorry, George, but that's
don't buy her a Porsche.
And, confront her on it and either decide if you're going to put up with this or not. But you're not going to change her in all probability.
True.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Winding down.
Are we going to another
show?
More
speaking
questions?
Of Brian, I want to see if you want to hassle Heidi anymore.
Or I'll talk to the dude.
I want to talk to Heidi for a little
What's
bit.
What's going on, Adam?
What's happening, Heidi?
Just life is good. I have a publishing company now. I have my book out, Pandering. I have some other titles coming out. I was telling Dr. Drew about it while you were late.
Is all the court stuff behind you?
I get off my probation next month, and that'll be 10 years of legal problems over and done with in a new chapter.
Really? So how, and I don't want to go back and relive everything.
We went through the $100,000 I lost on the show.
This show last time she visited us.
That was excellent.
Yeah, that was great.
Good times.
Cut about half that car you're driving. but what about...
One thing that's totally unrelated to the case is just that in today's world, if you call someone... a lesbian or question their sexuality. I mean, I don't think it's a crime to be gay.
No.
I mean, they promote like gay and lesbian officers and...
Is that what you got in trouble for?
I don't want to make any comment towards that thing at all. But I don't see how anything, if it's not a crime to be gay or be perceived as being called gay, it's not a criminal act. I mean, I wasn't gay. I went to prison. I might have experienced some lesbian acts. And now
really?
In prison?
Yes, but now I'm back to, you know, there's no lesbian acts going on.
Is that rampant?
You're a lesbian.
Drew, please. Does that go on a lot? I mean, I've seen it in the movies.
It's lesbian hell.
Caged Heat and Concrete Jungle.
This is what I say in my book. Going in, 3% gay. While you're in there, 97% gay. Going
really?
Out, 4% gay.
And is it easy to do?
Well, you know, it's kind of like that environment where if everybody's doing it, it seems like it's the normal thing to do, or it seems like it's okay, or something like that.
Now, did you get bullied at the beginning? I mean, you had notoriety. People knew who you were.
They were waiting for me.
Really?
I'm saying you must have been a prize.
Oh, it was horrible.
Really?
Oh, it was horrible. Yes.
And
I started out, I was sentenced to a camp up in federal... near Dublin. They used to call it Pleasanton, but the town didn't like being known for a prison, so they changed it to Dublin. It's in Northern California. Started out at the camp there, and people think camp, it's like Club Fed. That's not true at all. It's horrible. You're crammed in these little barracks, and they're overcrowded, and, I mean, it's the Newt Gingrich laws of no frills, and they really mean it. And everyone works, so I had to work in a kitchen from 4 a.m. to noon.
And, you know, all things being relative, I mean, three-quarters of the people that are in there were living in crappy flop houses or one-bedroom apartments in East
LA. Look at the Unabomber. He's got a better quarters now. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Everything is relative. Look where you were up on some big mansion on top of the hill doing mounds of drugs, having sex, having a good time driving $120,000 cars that you overpaid for. I mean, You know, and it really, you know what prison should be, Drew? It should be a relative punishment.
Yes, yes.
Like, if you're the Unabomber, you should have to stay in, like, a veal cage.
That's right.
Because why should prison be a step up from where you were?
And Leona Helms, you should go to, like, a Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah, like, yeah, Heidi, you should have to stay at a Red Roof and only get one room service meal a day.
Well, actually,
and no salad buffet.
The Unabomber was housed. They had a federal... detention center near us, and the Unabomber was housed right across the street, and I was fascinated. I would always ask the prison guards, what's he doing in there? What's going on?
Were you in love with him?
Well, it's kind of a fascinating case. I mean,
did you want to marry him?
The Unabomber, are you crazy?
That's a good call. Scott, 25.
I don't like all that facial hair.
Drew, hold on. What the hell kind of radio are you doing?
You know, I'm making fun of those women that wait outside the prison.
Yeah, those and Richard Ramirez.
Yes, exactly.
The jury forewoman married him.
I know, but why are you diving on the phone after
that? Oh, because we have no time here, and I was going to just...
All right, well, we should just take a break.
All right, fine.
Because I am really interested in, and not just for the titillating lesbian stuff, but I am kind of interested in how this goes. And, you know, I think it's like, to a lot of people, sort of a little bit of an urban myth that all this stuff goes on behind the bars.
No urban myth.
I guess it really does, huh?
Oh, God. Does it ever.
Did you have a girlfriend?
Well,
does
it ever? You have one girl? Orgies or something? What are you talking
about? Well, this is what happened. At the prison camp, my first day I arrived there, I probably looked like the Unabomber. I felt horrible. And, this, you know, it's 5 a.m. I arrived there all shackled, and they give me some government clothes that are too big, and you get a government roll, which is just a bed and toothpaste and, like, a standard things you need to get by. And I'm carrying it, and this really good-looking black officer starts showing me around, and he's so nice, and I don't know the protocol if I'm supposed to be nice to him back or what, so I'm just confused. And all of a sudden, all these women prisoners, I think they're what they look like, women, some do, some don't, surround me, and they're offering me, do you need shoes, do you need this, because in prison, if you have the government shoes, it's like high school, they'll pick on you. You have to be able to buy the commissary tennis shoes, the good ones, or mm-hmm. you'll get picked on. You know, it's just regular, you know, gotta have the right Nikes thing. They gotta have Gucci.
But, wow. So, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second, Heidi, because this is fascinating.
Okay, so
to
I'm
me.
Standing
wait,
there
wait,
with
wait,
my bedroll.
I want to finish it. Finish it.
No. I'm with my bedroll, and I'm
Drew, what, hold on.
Surrounded by the circling. These women are circling me like sharks, offering me all the stuff, and I just look up like, oh, God, why me? And then I looked around, and I saw one that looked kind of like a cute surfer guy. I was like, okay, yeah, I need tennis shoes. I need this. I need that.
You're lesbian.
For a few months.
Now we'll hear about that relationship when we get back. All right, Adam?
Yeah, that's a great plan, Drew.
I didn't.
Fantastic, you jack off. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm over here at Jimmy Kimmel Live in Hollywood. Heidi Fleiss is with Dr. Drew over in Culver City. And now, Heidi, I don't know what you're... Are you plugging anything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's sitting in front of me here. Go ahead.
What is it?
This is Pandering. It's my book out, my first book out, and I believe in this book. I think everybody will learn something from it, even if you don't like me, that you will learn something from this book.
It is an amazing production. I mean, you got to see this thing. It's sort of... Like this, it's set up like a picture book, you know, like a, what do you call these things?
To me, it's just like a piece of art.
No, but so it's like somebody's picture, like
their diary or something.
And it's set up that way. Each page, it's got a bunch of pictures sort of posted in it, a bunch of sort of interesting.
Well, when I got out of prison, I had to see how the world had changed, and I saw that I've been an avid reader my whole life, but people don't read a whole lot. So I had to gear my book towards an X and Y generation with it very visual, very smart, very concise, and then very powerful.
Now, Heidi, weren't people coming at you with book deals left and right back in the day?
I put one in the book there for $3 million that I turned down in 1993.
And why did you turn those down back then?
Because they wanted me to write their kind of book, not my kind of book. Hmm. This has everything in it. This has court documents. It has photos. It has my crazy philosophies. I don't sugarcoat it like I'm so great or anything. There's just negative stuff about me in there.
Is there any naming or black book or
anything?
I mean,
maybe between the lines or maybe something in there. I don't know, but I just think it's a great book. It's about life and things that we all experience.
But tell them what we were just talking about in the break. We were sort of worrying about the world situation.
This book addresses everything that we go through in life. Age, beauty, love, hate, deception, betrayal, loyalty, Hollywood. And also teaches you just to enjoy every moment right here, right now. And don't let the bigger picture, like everyone's so worried about war and this and that, which they should worry about, but you can't do anything about it. So just enjoy every moment while you can.
And if you talk about the LAPD, just don't do it in public radio.
Never.
And what what about the famous black book? Did that ever exist?
There's pages of it here. You don't see it here.
There's some of the FBI. The whole black book story is all in Pandering. It is.
All right. Where is this black book? Do you still have it?
It gives the whole story about my business in the black book. It says even I put the search warrant in here, and it says I ran my business by voice recognition. That means no black book ever existed.
Is that true?
Of course, my business, my clients were my friends, and they knew me, and I knew them, and maybe I did have a book with names and numbers, but really, I mean, there's no, like, big secret book that just gets passed around to run a big sex business. It's just myth.
Hmm. All right.
Now, we left off. She was telling us about the surfer chick that she met.
Oh, yeah.
She was surrounded by prisoners.
We're going back to prison days.
Surrounded by prisoners.
Okay, so I take this surfer chick, if you want to call her chick. She looked like a cute guy. And I was like, I didn't touch her, but I was like, oh, okay, that's good. And after a few months, I told her, don't ever think of contacting me out in the real world. And she freaked out.
Why?
Because what am I going to do with her? I don't need any sex toy.
Was she falling in love with you? Is that what was happening?
I don't know. She was like an airplane mechanic for TWA or something like that.
And what was she in for? Drugs?
Yeah, like a 30-year sentence.
Ooh, she's still there?
I don't know where she is.
Oh.
I didn't touch her. So she started vandalizing the prison after I told her don't contact me. She just.
But you became friends or something or what?
Well,
how did she get so involved with you that freaked her out?
We got close.
Okay.
You get it?
I'm reading between the lines, yes.
Okay, we were close, but I didn't touch her. I would just be like, oh, yeah, that felt good. And actually, it was really good.
Yeah.
But, gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, then, so when she's gone, do you find another girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, I got transferred to, after she left, I got transferred across the street to a harder prison, like I was way out hustled. Like they're much craftier than me, and there are people who will die there. There's serious prison, and there I met probably one of the smartest girls I ever met in my life. She's beautiful, great person. Her name is Sylvia, and she's in there for 20 years. She looks just like J-Lo.
What's she in there for?
Drug dealing. I mean, it's like America's Gestapo.
Hmm.
Yeah. So did you find that most people, most of the women at least, were in there for drugs?
Yeah, it's mostly drugs.
Were there recovery programs behind that people got into?
There are recovery programs, but a lot of it stems. People are just like victims of their, of society. Some of these women, I think that if they were brought up in a different environment, would have gone to college, could have been, biologists or whatever, could have had a different career, but,
Look at you. Your dad's a doctor, right?
Never blame the parents.
That's what I'm saying. Didn't keep you out of prison.
It was the neighborhood.
Well, so when you walking away from the prison and sort of looking back on the experience and seeing the people that were in there, generally decent people who were underrepresented from a law standpoint and basically got screwed and lots of
Adam,
drugs
you're
and
so
all
tough.
That.
You're so
I mean, no, I mean, I'm serious. I don't think we should be locking up everyone for drugs. I think that
the drug laws definitely have to be changed, and these criminals, who violent criminals, were so lenient on them. It's crazy how someone could carjack someone and like beat them to death with practically the butt of a gun, and they get an 8-year sentence. And someone who is selling weed gets a 25-year sentence. I just do not get it.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
And then
it.
The ecstasy thing. I'm sitting on the prison rec field, and I'm reading about ecstasy. I think I've taken ecstasy once in my life. I hated it, because anything that's going to make you hug and kiss an enemy, I'm not going to take. But in USA Today, they describe ecstasy. It says it makes you want to hug and kiss and dance all night. Well, gee, let's make that illegal, and AK-47s, let's give that to everyone. I mean, that doesn't make sense either.
Well, look, the point is I think they ought to just ask the people, do you want a guy who carjacks someone and pistol whips someone doing the same time as someone who's selling weed? The answer is obviously no, and that's how the laws should be reflected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's real simple. Mm-hmm. The public seems sort of apathetic to it, but I think a lot of it is they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because we don't live the cities we live in don't reflect the majority or something.
But 80% of the women in there for drug related causes.
It's crazy.
Fantastic.
All right.
This is Laura 33. Laura.
Hey.
Hey, Laura.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're called Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, you know, why are you called by your first name? It's so informal. I mean, it seems as if you don't have any kind of
because when I was
education or
shut up!
Advice. I don't know. I'm not trying to insult you whatsoever. I believe, I mean, you're very popular.
Maybe has a tough last name.
I just would like to know what kind of, you know, authority you have to give advice on the air.
You want his credentials mailed to your house?
Hold on, because he goes by his first name? Is that because he goes by his first name?
Well, no, not only that, but I just want to know, you know, why he's giving advice. I mean,
yeah, okay. Where's his college professor? Okay. Let's bring him in there and see if he's really a doctor.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
I mean, he's on the air and he's not, you know, necessarily, you know, in practice if he's a doctor. And I was wondering, you know.
Laura, will you let me speak?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm an internist. I taught internal medicine. Then I became director of medicine at a psychiatric hospital for 10 years. I became an addictionologist. I run a large addiction recovery program at a freestanding psychiatric hospital, and I practice internal medicine every day.
Wow.
And,
he's got a very busy schedule.
The reason I use my first name is when I started doing radio 20 years ago, I thought I was doing community service. I did it for free for 10 years, and I didn't want anyone to think I was trying to develop a practice or use the radio to put my name out there. So I didn't, no one even knew I did it, so I didn't use my last name. In the world, I was
doing anything on outside?
In the world, what do you mean? I practice
medicine. Other than radio for money.
I practice medicine every day, like I said, and I run a large addiction recovery program.
Okay.
And the world, I'm Dr. Pinsky. On the radio, I use something totally different. It's two different
letters. And Laura, you understand. Hold on, screwball. Listen, first off, we're going to figure out what kind of drugs you're on in a second. But secondly, he starts the show at 10 o'clock at night.
Well, my drug that I'm on is lack of sex.
Just shut up.
Is it that impossible to believe that he might have a date?
You want to have sex with Dr. Drew? I mean, what's going on?
Well, I can't get my old man to have a heart on. I don't know. I mean, he's on painkillers constantly.
All right, so he needs to get into recovery from the opiates. He's an opiate addict.
Viagra.
What do you know? You're just a love doctor.
Back pain. He's got, you know, Laura, he's doing
Laura,
shots
and Laura,
his
you got,
and
for,
is
Laura,
the neighbor cute?
Wait a minute, Laura, you've got to listen to me.
Okay.
I run a recovery program, and one of the most common addictions we treat is addiction to oral pain medication for people who have chronic back pain. And magically, their back pain goes away when we treat their opiate addiction. And unless you treat that opiate addiction, nothing is going to change.
Well, why is his doctor shooting, stuff into his spine?
I treat this kind of situation single day. You've got to get him evaluated by an addictionologist. And
is this the reason why he can't get a hard on?
Yes.
Okay, baby. You don't have any kids, do you?
I have a 16-year-old who gives me a hard time every day.
I bet.
Yeah. But I bet just about everyone on the planet gives you a hard time.
Yeah.
All right, Laura, what drugs you into? Speed?
Hold on. Laura?
Speed?
Whoops,
what's your drug?
There she is. Laura?
Alcohol. Marijuana.
Yeah, alcohol and pot.
Alcohol and pot?
Yeah.
No speed?
No speed.
No, this is alcohol and pot.
I don't need any speed.
Yeah.
He's a Gemini. Listen, I'm a Gemini. And I need like four pots of coffee before I can get my pants up. Are you kidding me? Oh, please, these people. What's wrong with everyone? They need their kids taken away from them.
They all
I'm
have
a Gemini.
Kids. I can't believe
this. She's so
high. You have to take tests for everything else. What about kids?
Scott, 25.
Yeah, hi. I had a question for Heidi.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You're such a beautiful woman. What made you want to get into this?
You know, it's not something I really wanted to. It's just one of those things that kind of happened, and as it was happening, I didn't realize it was snowballing into some huge enterprises. I didn't know I was going to corner the sex market or end up in 3 years in federal penitentiary and 10 years of probation. It just kind of happened, and I don't know.
Now, was your addiction getting going through all this, too? Was it part of all that?
I was addicted to the money and the thrill, and it turned out exciting.
But thrill addiction is part of an addictive disorder.
Well, then everyone's addicted to something, whether it be water.
Heidi?
Yeah. I know.
Come
Dr.
on,
Drew.
Baby. Who are you talking to?
Yeah, who do you think you're talking to?
I know, Dr. Drew. I'm shutting up.
What were your drugs?
Heidi? What was Heidi's drugs? Everyone knows my story. Embarrassing.
Well, last time we talked to you, you were getting into recovery, and you were
I was
happy
sober
with it.
Then.
Yeah.
And now.
And I'm just saying that every addict has a thrill mechanism. They either substitute thrill for their drug of choice, or thrill is part of the evolution of their disease. And sex is sometimes part of that. Sometimes it's extreme sports. Sometimes it's dramatic relationships.
Publishing now.
That's
career-driven.
That's passion. That's a little different.
So are you sober now, Heidi?
Yes. I slipped a few times. I had a couple times. It was hard readjusting to society. Mm-hmm. And in prison, I had an experience where it was like the one time on earth I did not want to get high ever.
In prison?
Yes. I just got out of solitary confinement after like 60 days.
Why? Why do you mean solitary?
It's a long story, but I ended up throwing a metal chair at a correctional officer, two of them. It's a long story, but I had to do it or else I would be like, Fleiss, clean that up. Fleiss, go get that. Fleiss, get this. So I end up, and it's sad, but then you have to do those kind of things to show yourself. So.
But wasn't solitary worse than being the boy?
True. Wait a minute.
No, I really would have been, I hate to use this, but like a punk to everybody.
Yeah, to everybody, not just
the officers, but to everybody.
If you didn't throw the chair,
well,
or if you didn't do the drugs?
An officer was ordering, no, the drugs from later, was ordering me to move some, it's in my book, I don't want to bore you guys, but was ordering.
Yeah, it's not boring.
Fleiss, move these lockers. And I was trying to explain to her, you know, the barracks are symmetrical. The reason why the locker was moved was because of ants, and she wouldn't let me talk. Every time I talked, she'd say, Fleiss, I'm getting direct order. And there's about five other inmates behind her laughing. So finally I said, do you want these chairs moved? And I want the lockers moved. They're lockers. I just grabbed two of the metal chairs, you know, that's standard. I grabbed them, and I just threw them right over her head. First one.
On top of her head?
Over.
And what was solitary like?
Oh, God, it's very introspective. You
see God?
Well, put it this way. At night, you're exhausted from doing nothing.
Wow.
Really? And so how does it work? You have just a small room.
You don't get no reading windows. Material.
Reading material, yes. And your food comes through a slot in the door. And I think 4 days a week, you have recreation out in a cage.
In a cage?
Yeah, it's all caged in. And you shower handcuffed to the shower, just like on TV when you see, like, on Dateline and stuff, just like that.
Wow.
And so I was there 60 days. I got out, and I was like, I got a headache that first day out from standing up so long because I was so used to laying down. But I read a whole lot.
Interesting.
And you did drugs when you got out?
This is what happened. Like, when I was in solitary, I could peek on the prison yard and see the prisoners. So I saw, like, the slickster girls and these girls. And you know, people were getting – some girls were getting into trouble just to come into the unit I was in just to meet me. And I was like, great, you know.
Wow.
That's really thrilling. And then so when I got out, these little slickster girls, I was with maybe four of them, I was hung out with them. They're like, Heidi, come here, come with us. And they took me a little part of the prison where no one else could see. And there's four of us, and they put out four little lines of drugs. And it was the one time in my life where the last thing I wanted were drugs. I mean, I wanted eyes all over in the back of my head. And I had to do it because if I didn't do it and someone got in trouble, all the finger pointing would be whatever. So I did my little line. 1 hour later, an officer is like, Fleiss, come here.
Urine.
Yeah.
Wow,
really?
And the captain is like, tell me you did it and you don't have to go back in. I went back in for 45 days.
Solitary?
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow, so you didn't squeal.
No, I took the speed test.
You're no stoolie. And did you see drugs in prison a lot? I mean,
rarely.
Did you know they were around?
Rarely.
Interesting.
It's hard. Right. It's really hard to... You know, the way the federal system's set up, it's just really hard. And it's so scary because people are in there for life and stuff. And, you know, the stakes are so high that people don't want to take a chance.
Wow.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break.
This is fascinating.
it is.
There's another book here.
Glad you did this, Heidi. I mean, you know.
Yeah, first, just so we could all learn. Yeah.
Now you know what it's all about.
Oh, my God.
All right, we'll take a little break.
It wasn't
Heidi Fleiss.
Patty Hearst days where they had night mink coats. And it was like a nightclub back then.
Yeah. Oh, good times. Heidi Fleiss in studio, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. This is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Heidi Fleiss is in studio tonight. I'm over here at Jimmy Kimmel Live. And the book is called Pandering.
She's actually signing it right now for someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did she bring more than one book?
This is a friend of mine who's a professor at the business school who brought her to sign at USC. So.
Why don't you leave one for me if you got
She didn't bring them. Did you bring some for us?
I didn't have any.
It's Why did you
flies
have
nothing
any?
For free.
No kidding. Oh, you gave me a free sweatshirt last time I saw you.
I must have been in a rare mood.
Photo Signed album. That's it. What it looks like. Your own photo album. Yeah, it looks like a photo album. And it's
There's
in an
a
inside.
Lot of...
It's like a scrapbook. It's like a Heidi scrapbook.
And believe it or not, I throw everything away, and I had maybe two boxes of stuff, and everything fit in perfectly.
Wow, that's interesting.
And it's just... it has interviews with former employees or... co-worker, I don't know how to girls that worked with me.
You keeping up with any of them?
No, I'm really into the publishing and
we met the one Adam, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What was her name?
Did she really work for me?
She said she did. Said she could do stuff with her feet to a guy.
Then I don't think. I mean, when I was in prison, I'd be jogging around the rec field, and I'd hear, coming up next, Heidi Fleiss's number one girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I would have my brother, off the internet, email me photos and a bio, and I've never even heard of the people.
Wow.
And someone looked older than my mother. And I'm like, what, they worked for when I was two? You know?
Yeah, well, maybe they meant like they were your nanny or something. All right, Drew, you got a call over there?
All right, let's take Juan, 22. Juan?
Hi, Drew?
Yeah, Juan.
I got this question about that crazy skin disease that's going around. They call it the antibacterial resistant supervirus. I live an hour north of San Francisco.
Wait.
Is that the flesh-eating bacterial?
Something like that. They said first it was just going around in the gay community, but now there's speculation that it could be bioterrorism or whatever.
I've not heard about this, so really? Tell me more.
They've been talking about it up here a lot, especially around work or you go to school or just it's actually like really word of mouth now, but I've been hearing about it. You can get it from casual contact, like handshakes.
You probably just have a rash.
I don't know, but they say there's been a couple cases. And the people have been going to the doctor, and they can't get treated for it. They try different medicines.
Why do you think you have it?
I don't think I have it. I'm just worried about getting it because I live so close to the city.
Oh, don't worry about a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if it's one of the resistant streps that are out there right now. There's a number of bacteria that have... Look, the fact is we use way too many antibiotics in this country, and as a result, we're creating super strains of bacteria. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into problems with infections that can't be... easily or even adequately treated with antibiotics. So it's probably just another one of those resistant drugs.
Go by Pandering. That'll give yourself some entertainment.
All right, this is Heather, 26. Heather?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
We're good. What's going on?
I have a question for you.
Yeah?
I had a rather difficult childhood.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of abuse from my brother.
Are you a stripper?
No.
Not sexual abuse, it's physical abuse by the brother, right?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Physical and verbal abuse from my brother, and kind of absentee parents. And I just got a letter in the mail the other day from my brother, kind of owning up to all the things that he did, or not really all the things but admitting that he was really bad to me when we were young. And I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know.
What to do with it, you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have been in therapy before to deal with my issues with him because...
You're under no obligation to respond to that letter, okay? He needed to send it, and you can you got to do what you feel. In other words, don't try to make nice for him just because you want to let him off the hook and sort of relieve his conscience. The fact is he has to deal with the real consequences of his behaviors. And if part of that consequence is that his sister hates him forever... That's what he has to deal with.
How long have you been out of touch with him?
It's been very minimal touch, like holidays when we were both back at home or weddings or special events.
Just focus on yourself.
I haven't had a real conversation with him in, I would say, 5 years.
How severe was the abuse?
It was pretty severe as far as I was concerned. Physically, as far as like going home after school and having nobody else, you know, there, like, no parent figure, and he would just, you know, roughhouse and play awful, and I mean, I guess there was some.
What was the worst thing you did?
Well, the worst thing I told your interviewer was he, when I was 11 years old, he stabbed me with a jackknife, and I was in the hospital for 5 days.
Oh, big whoop.
He's a big boy.
What did your, parents say about that?
I have a scar every day.
Hey, Adam, what are you going to do?
What did your parents say about that?
Well, they were absentee.
They weren't there.
They went to counseling. All right,
you know what?
I was laid up in the hospital on pain medication. He got to stay with my father, who at that time had cable when my mom didn't, got to bring his Nintendo and all his video games and got to play while I was sitting there on morphine.
All right, well, the fact is that...
Well, don't knock morphine, but if you put her on hold. Let's just figure this out.
Get over all this and forget about yesterday.
Heidi's got a good point. If you can find it in your heart to forgive him, it will help you getting over the traumas. On the other hand, you're not obliged to do it for him. You've got to do it. That's for yourself if you want to. If you don't want to respond to this letter, don't. You don't have to let him off the hook. That's part of the consequence of what he did. He has made his amends. You're going to respond to it however you respond to it. And that's
also, just take the pressure off yourself. Figure on, take another look at it in 2 months and see if you feel like responding then.
That's good.
Just work on yourself. Get a career. Move on and focus on you.
In the meantime, we got to move on too and go to break.
All right, but listen, don't live in the past too much. You know, I never do that.
Or you can stab him right back.
Yeah, Adam.
Just kidding.
Well, wait,
just
excuse me.
Just kidding.
Adam, yeah. Never live in the past. Yeah, don't worry about your mom. Don't worry about your dad. Don't worry about your absentee parents, your neglect.
Mom, I'm so mad at you. I am so mad at you, Mom.
You know, Anderson left the mics hot while I called my mom once during a commercial break, and I'll never forgive him.
What are you going to do?
Let's take a little break. Heidi Fleiss in studio. We'll be right back after this. Line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm over here at Jimmy Kimmel Live. Been guest hosting on the show all week long.
You got a lot of people calling in saying they really liked you, Adam.
Oh, tonight, you mean?
Yeah, just all week, really. Just people happy with the show with you on it.
Well, God bless them. Heidi Fleiss is in the studio.
That'll get him through another hour. He'll be good now.
All right. Talking to Dr. Drew over there. And the name of the book is Pandering.
It's available in all stores, but if you get it off HeidiFleiss.com, you get a free Pandering T-shirt, a beanie, a baby tee, whatever makes you happy.
You get your choice.
Yes.
All right. Well, that sounds like it's worth. Now, how much is the book?
$50 book.
Still, you figure the beanie alone would
be 50. You got
to
see this book.
I wanted to sell it for $85 or even more, but the distributor was like, "No, Heidi."
It's encyclopedic. I mean, it's huge.
It's very layered. You could open it anywhere, and let me tell you, more entertaining than any hooker can ever be.
I just was handed a note that it is on Amazon.com for $32.
And what's their shipping?
It's $18. I don't know.
Yeah, Amazon, you know, they're fine as long as they make a $4 markup. So what are you gonna do? What's your shipping? You might get it in 4 weeks, or they might charge you $10.
Oh, it's going to be all dog-eared. Someone will have...
No, Amazon's great. When I was in prison, I lived off Amazon books.
Really? So when you're in prison, you're able to order a lot of books?
3 books at a time.
And did they monitor or censor what books you ordered?
Yeah, of course they do. There's it was weird when I was there because at first, I think Playboy was allowed, and then a law passed where it was banned, and then it came back where Playboy was allowed, and then a law passed again where it was banned.
Now, I'm looking at a picture of her in prison camp, and it's a pretty impressive place. It's just two barracks, just
Can
cubes.
You imagine living in those with all those women
but,
up there
but hacking? Now, the picture of her having won a sandcastle contest. So what did this woman, what's she in there for?
I think some kind of insurance fraud or something.
And you went into prison what year?
The end of 96, I think the end of September 96 I left. And I got out the end of September nearly 2000, 99.
Oh, so you were in from 96 and change to 2000 and change?
I did 3 years. It was just about to the day, maybe a few days over.
But the whole thing broke loose at what year?
1993, I was arrested.
I see. So
the big thing.
Took 3 years to actually get behind bars.
Yeah, my last 3 years.
Was the bulk of your time from, like, tax evasion, or what was the bulk of the
time? Yeah, that's what they got me on, like, Al Capone. Went down, you know, you could rape, rob, and steal, but do not mess with Uncle Sam.
Drew?
And what? Who was the one that, who was your beach, they have pictures of some of the prisoners in here. Who was your beach girl?
Oh, I don't have a picture of the beach girl.
And they have the Spice Girls of federal prisoners.
I named them that because they look all like,
I mean, they look like models.
They look all, all done
really,
up.
Really, really. So a lot of attractive women in prison, huh?
Yeah, Adam, just take that home with you tonight.
Let me tell you, there's the other kind, too. And there's some of you who can't tell. They're like, wait, this isn't a men's prison?
Really, but there are also for every. I mean, were you surprised that the women were as attractive as they were?
Yeah, I was definitely.
Right. So those movies are right. All right, Drew. Should we take?
Is this going to be fantasy land?
That's different.
There's going to be all these men waiting outside the federal correctional institutes now.
Oh my God!
Should we take a phone call?
Yeah, this is Renee. Is 20. Renee.
I think Renee.
Did we lose you one more time, Renee?
She hated me.
No, yeah. Melissa, 25.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Heidi, Adam, Drew.
Hey.
Heidi, I love you. Mm. I have been, like, I don't know, not fascinated to say in such a psycho manner, but with you since I was young. I've always wanted to talk to you or meet you or something. I think
I'm flattered.
Said, it's great.
You got to get this book. It's like meeting her.
I know. Really. I can't wait. Actually, she was the topic of conversation at work tonight, and they were telling me she wrote the book, and, you know, so... Of course, I have to run out as soon as possible. Women everywhere love you. I mean,
really?
Like down to my grandmother, they're all fascinated by you. You did such a wonderful job at your business. You know, you provided a service, you provided jobs for these women, you kept it clean, you kept it safe. And like you said, you know, the only reason you went down is because you're messing with Uncle Sam, and that's unfortunate. But yeah, you know, my grandma was breaking down on the... how we used to have the red light districts and all the women were so beautiful and classy and, you know, but you did such a good job. You know, you're a really good businesswoman.
You're making me blush in the studio here.
Hey,
Heidi.
Wish
I could see you blushing, girl.
Does this exist anymore? I mean, I remember when you were a Hot Topic.
Is it what, modems, not madams now?
Yeah, there was another madam who was allegedly...
Oh, please, she's rinky-dink.
She was rinky-dink?
Yeah, small
time. So, I mean, nothing really exists.
There'll
now.
Never be another one again.
Heidi, to me, you are the one and only.
Why never again?
Because times have changed, and it was just kind of a unique time period where everything gelled for me, and I was tied into 1%, probably the richest men in the entire world. And I had personal relationships with them. I met through a boyfriend before I was ever in the sex business, most of them. And... no one else is going to be connected like that or tied in the way I was.
What do those guys do now?
Some have passed away. Some are another. Who knows what they do now?
I mean, isn't there, if you're suggesting that those kinds of guys always need that kind of thing, they must be.
Maybe they're getting. Maybe they're married, or maybe people.
So they just stopped doing that kind of thing.
Or maybe they still see girls from.
Well, a lot of them were married, right? I mean, when they were seeing your girls.
I don't know. You know, I didn't ask for. So maybe some were, a lot of them were actually single, believe it or not. And, you know, they're hardworking men. They were running.
Were a lot of them from out of town or out of the country?
No matter where you are, you always want a California girl.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Melissa.
So. Everybody loves sex.
Melissa's
people
a stripper.
Pay for it till there's no more.
Melissa, what do you do?
I'm a bartender.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You sound
little
happy.
Prostitution,
like
too, maybe? Or?
Not a stripper.
Right.
But I can make you all the screaming orgasms you want, Heidi.
Oh, you're great.
But anyways, you're a great businesswoman. Martha
I hope
Stewart
you love the book.
Don't have anything on your cookies.
You're great.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
I need
time.
My Heidi fan club.
No kidding.
It also makes me sleep good at night.
Heidi.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you had a kind of celebrity before all this broke, but it was sort of...
Underground.
In a little microcosm. Yeah, I mean, people you worked with and who worked for you and your clients knew who you were, obviously. And obviously, part of your job is not being a household name. But now that you are, do you like that?
Oh, come on. It's horrible.
It is?
Yeah. I loved it before. I mean, I felt like I had a very powerful, position.
Right, but you don't like this kind of notoriety that you have now?
Well, Adam, I don't get the commercials like you do. I don't get the free, I don't get the endorsements, I don't get the free products.
Yeah, you can't be a talking menu for Burger King. I mean, it's only good guys like Adam get that.
Or whatever he is.
How dare you attack my art, Drew?
I'm not doing all the, Adam, you get all the, you get the benefits that go with the household name. I'm like the Bible prostitution on the Jerry Springer show. Not anymore.
So it's like,
I'm the publisher.
You have a name, but it's a name that people don't want associated with their product or what
not for
have
long.
You.
I mean, right, what's then. Apple? Think different. I'm waiting for them to call me.
that's your good half.
All right. Well, let's keep rolling along here. And by the way, Heidi, let me ask you this. There are all these celebrity shows now, you know? This Surreal House.
Yeah. And have they contacted you?
Oh, yeah. Does anyone? These
my ego
shows?
Is so big. There is no way I would ever do anything like that.
Right. But has anybody ever?
Oh yeah, they wanted
you?
Me to box someone for I don't know. They went out. Fox offered $100,000 if I would do it.
Really, 100 grand?
Something like that. And I was like, I'll box Mike Tyson or an IRS agent. That's about it. I don't believe in fighting.
Just Tyson, though, huh?
Just a joke.
It seemed like a great strategy. All right, well, let's move
forward.
Well,
he gets those
here.
Big pools of 30 million. Yeah.
Right.
Matt, 20.
Hey, what's going on, Dr. Drew and Adam?
Hey, Matt.
Oh, man. All right, man. I got a situation here. I work here in Tulsa, and I'm debating whether or not I should date my manager or not. She's 6 years older than I am, and she's kind of a tease, you know?
Will you get a bonus?
Do what?
Will you get a bonus?
Well, I don't think so, because, like, I'm friends, like, she just moved here from out of state, and so she doesn't have a lot of friends here, so, like, she's been hanging out with a lot of people from her work and stuff, and that's cool and all, but...
Well,
like,
what kind of job? What kind
of
job is it?
It's in a restaurant, actually.
All right. How do you know she likes you?
Well, like, she'll come up, like, we'll be working together... And, you know, like, she'll brush up against me or, like, I'll be like, oh, I need a table. I need to get busy. And she'll be like, oh, yeah, you know. She's like, I like the sound of that. She's like, well, let's, you know, go or something. And then, I can't take her seriously.
Matt makes quite a compelling argument there about her offering a table. Well, okay, so here's the bottom line. And if you have, and Drew and I differ on this a little bit, but I think he's going to agree with me on this, which is if you're in a career... You probably don't want to start mixing the business with pleasure
stuff. Well, and in a professional work environment, there'd be rules against that kind of thing, too.
Well, if you could move on up, keep doing it.
All right, would you quiet down, Drew, and let me finish my point?
That was Heidi, not me.
No, you started off.
All right, go ahead.
You jackass. Look, if it's a career, that's one thing. Don't monkey around. But if it's working at a restaurant or some fast food joint or it's a Christmas tree lot or something, then it's game on.
All right.
Do whatever you want. I mean, she's 6 years older. Who cares? Yeah, she's your boss. Who cares?
If she were 20 and he were 14, we would care. But he's 20. She's 26.
Right. If he likes her, fine. If he doesn't, fine.
All right. Good
Just
time.
Don't take it serious.
Jackie, 35. Jackie?
Hi, Drew. Question for you. Uh-huh. A little embarrassing. But when I have orgasms, really, really intense orgasms, sometimes I urinate.
You sure it's urine?
Men love that.
They do.
They go crazy for that.
No,
Heidi, you would charge extra for that, right? I mean, if one of your girls could do a little.
Well,
little
when
urine
I was told,
spray.
I was told a couple girls had that, and then like the men would request them. And
I do have a partner who gets really excited when I do that, but I'm just assuming it's urine. What else could it be?
It could be female ejaculation.
No way.
Yeah.
There's many girls that have it, and guys go crazy for it. So you are blessed.
Guys like when they produce something. You know, when they can, there's evidence of their hard work.
Yeah, they know you didn't fake it.
I mean, truth be told, we'd like it better if the little stuffed animal came out of your coos when we gave you an orgasm instead of a spray of urine in the face. But we will take it, yeah, because you women take it for granted, but you know every time a guy has an orgasm.
True.
Jackie, let me tell you, men are going to stalk you.
Well, she's got a man, and he's happy, right?
Well, I mean, there's been a couple of guys who get really offended. And
really?
Doubt about it, yeah.
I doubt it. And trust me, they're going home, and the next day they're thinking about it, and their palms are sore.
Well, she's got one guy, right?
I have a couple partners right now.
A couple partners.
Yeah. One guy that likes it, she said.
One guy really likes it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to meet some that are going to stalk you.
Okay.
And what's wrong with the one guy? Why don't you just settle down with him?
Oh, it's just kind of a...
Not enough money.
No, it's not that at all. I just got out of a serious relationship and don't really want to get into... It's just fun for now, you know.
All right, so you're having sex with younger guys?
Well, yeah.
All right, shocking. All right, let's do what you want. Don't get pregnant. Good times. You have kids?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Hold on here. Go ahead, Jackie.
You have kids,
no,
Jackie?
No kids.
Good. All
just
right, do what you
you're
want.
You're blessed with something. Keep it as a... You got a surprise there.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Somebody helped tonight. Here we go.
Yeah, you were touched by the hand of God.
You made a sort of comment about the guy not making enough money. Do you think women are that premeditated about that?
Well, I think in today's day and age, there's so much money in the world, and I don't mean it in a like a gold digging way, but in a sense of being lazy and hardworking, and that a woman should date a man who is hardworking, who does have a high ceiling, and who does want something of substance and. Who wants stability and love and to be able to provide that.
Yeah, in, she wants money. But,
yeah, I heard that.
But,
lots
but,
of money.
But let's get this message
$120,000 C4.
And I think Heidi will agree with this, which is men always say that women are attracted to money, but I always say they're attracted to the qualities that make the money, the outgoing, dynamic qualities, the
100%.
Sort of mover and shakers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why you see what a guy looks like and then what the girl looks like. I mean, absolutely what you said is on the money. I mean, sometimes, you know, a guy looks not like, you know, Stone Phillips, you know, Dateline.
Sure.
They don't look like him at all, and but they have the most beautiful girl on earth with them.
Yeah, but I'm saying she's
I'm
not there
you.
For his money. She's there for the reasons he makes the money.
Right, the dynamics of what makes him inside.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right.
Is are we on the same page?
Yes. Everybody.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Okay. It's like women are very attracted, and this is why I always think they're attracted. You got to look at it this way. Women are very attracted to men who are on stage, who are celebrities, who are comedians, who are performers, because they see a guy doing what he wants to do. They love to see a guy who has a plan, who has some dream or muse,
but
and he's going after it.
It affects, they literally have difficulty sort of separating that from the appearance. The package becomes
right.
Attractive.
He becomes,
so
he becomes hot. Now, yeah. For guys, if there's a female comedian who's hysterical and she's a 7, and there's a chick in the audience who's just slugging down Mai Tais and laughing, and she's a 9, we would rather be with the chick in the audience.
Yeah, it's the easy score.
We're smart
score.
That way.
No, not the easy score issue.
No, well, it's just the whole dynamic
well,
stuff
women
doesn't
are looking
turn
for
guys
this.
On.
They're looking for stability and support, stability, someone, role model, example, someone. They're looking for like almost like a 911, someone they can always count on. I mean, very few women out there are just like, hello, haven't you ever heard of a one-night stand? But
right.
I fall in that category sometimes.
Really?
Used to. Not anymore.
You got some making up to do.
not anymore. But, you know, women are looking for stability. It's like that's what they want out of a man. And if a man can't provide that, they're going to move on or always have their eye out for something else.
Mm-hmm. All right. You got a call there, Drew?
I do. It's Dan, 17. Dan?
Hi. My name is Dan. I've been writing a book, and I went to a boarding school. And I was just wondering if there are any contact numbers that I can... to publish this book.
No.
You're asking Heidi, right?
Yeah, this is for
yeah,
Heidi.
What about it, Heidi? I mean, you're getting into publishing now.
Is it an interesting story about boarding school?
Yes, I do. I lived there for 2.5 years.
Okay, email me. Heidi@HeidiWare.com.
Heidi, how do you spell your name?
H-E-I-D-I, just like the Walt Disney Heidi.
E-I, and then at?
HeidiWare.com.
At where, HeidiWare.com?
W-H-W-E-A-R, Heidi Ware.
Oh, Heidi Ware.
Yeah, and buy a shirt there while you're at it.
Yeah, buy Pandering.
So HeidiWare.com?
Yes,
yeah.
HeidiWare.com.
Should buy the book, see the style of books we put out.
Okay, this is Greg, 34. Greg?
Yeah.
What's up? Go right ahead, you're on.
Oh, outstanding. Well, I was hoping that you guys could get a handle on something I just found out about my girlfriend. We've been dating for about, and I like your show, and thanks for putting me on.
Thanks.
We'd been dating for about 2 years, and we had a, you know, a pretty normal relationship. You know, we have sex, not real often, but, and it's pretty straightforward. And I just found out that a number of years ago, well, I'm guessing a number of years ago, I don't know exactly when, she was in pornography. I got this...
Well, every man wants a girl, you know, they want her.
How did you find out?
I got this kind of slimy magazine with a bunch of lesbians in it, and there's a picture of her, you know, right there. Going.
And you know you got excited.
Pardon?
Did you get excited seeing that?
It freaked him out.
It's mixed. I mean, it's really interesting to see this.
Well, is it a new magazine?
I know that this is quite a few years ago from the picture compared to her now. I would say she's about 32 now, and I figure she was in her mid to late 20s when this picture was done.
Did you address this with her?
Not yet.
Is it possible it's someone else?
Pardon?
Is it possible it's someone else?
What do you mean? With somebody else doing like a threesome, or
no? Someone else in the photo.
Ball? Is it? Is it? Could it?
I get the bogus vibe.
You know what, I thought that at first as well. Her earlobes are the same.
There we go. But it's the side of a mason jar.
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's identical. It's bogus.
I sat down and identified some of the tan lines, birthmarks.
Well, look at every man wants a stripper, a hooker, a porno star. So you have a dream girl.
Well,
no, hold on. Not every guy wants a porn star.
In the bedroom.
All right, in the bedroom, but this is his girlfriend.
He's really got one. But this
what do you mean he sat down and identified tan lines?
Earlobes, Adam, earlobes.
Earlobes and tan lines from 1991?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
What, are you born with tan lines, Drew? You're a doctor?
No, I can't say you are.
But you know, how do you know this was bogus?
Because it was empty. There was nothing there.
But he was also an empty guy.
But he was rolling toward. He was rolling. He was, he was building toward something. He kept building.
Part where he gets a magazine with a 10-year-old spread in it?
Why does he say a slimy magazine and then his girlfriend or wife?
Why
is he looking at a slimy magazine?
Serious, Greg.
Why are you looking at a slimy magazine?
Well, I like lesbians. It kind of turns me on.
Okay, so obviously you're interested in it, and so if she's in there, you should be happy.
Well, but I'm worried that she'll, dump me for...
Why do you worry about problems that don't exist?
Well, okay, and I guess the other problem is that when we have, she's totally prude with me. She doesn't want to do, any kind of unusual sex.
One second, Greg, sidebar. A few minutes ago, A, the lesbian thing didn't enter this discussion. B, sex was normal and fine.
Yeah.
The story's changed a little bit.
All right. Get him back on. Listen, Greg.
Uh-huh.
If this is a bogus call, would you please just sound off so we can get on?
Greg, you know what? Buy her some more gifts, and she'll probably be more willing to do more stuff.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
Because that's what I'm wondering is, for what we do, we just do standard stuff. It's been a number of years since this, I'm guessing, because she has no...
She's only 32.
What's the name of the magazine?
I've got it right here. Pink.
Oh, Pink. Yeah, sounds classy. One.
Yeah,
what? Just offer her, buy it, take her shopping, offer some nice gifts, and see. I'm sure it'll be okay after that.
Heidi, what kind of strategy is this? Just pay her off?
I guarantee to any man out there, if you want a girl to give you oral copulation, if there's nothing on the dresser, it'll be this oral copulation. If there's $300 there or $3,000, you will have the best oral copulation of your life.
Hold on a second. You got to pay for a BJ?
I'm just saying that there's a difference between the money on the dresser and the money not being there, and it's not prostitution.
It's not?
No. It's just money
on
the counter.
Define prostitution, please.
Well, that could be just, it's such a... Come on, some people say a wife's a prostitute, and the term...
Nobody
says
that.
Well,
all right, hold on. We're going to take a break. We're going to let... Heidi, dig out of that grave she got in just a second ago.
Oh, God, no. Just understand what I'm saying.
All right,
I
know what you're saying.
You get it.
All right, baby doll. Calm down over there. Now, look, we were no help to Greg. We assumed it was a bogus call. I don't know if it was a bogus call or not. Here's the deal.
Look, he needs to have a discussion with his girlfriend this is, and he has to decide for himself what it means to him, and they need to develop a new equilibrium in their relationship.
It doesn't necessarily mean the end of the relationship.
But I know that was a bogus call.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Drew.
Good time. Slime magazine.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, Heidi Fleiss over there. I'm over at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. I'm over here at Jimmy Kimmel Live. Been guest hosting all week. Got one more day. That's tomorrow. Actually, two more days, but one more day as far as you know. And Heidi Fleiss is in studio. The book is called Pandering. Drew calls it a masterpiece. Yes, Drew?
Mm-hmm. A tour de force.
And
like
you can go on to the website and find that at HeidiWare.com
or HeidiFleiss.com, either one.
Did somebody buy your name? Did you have to buy your name back from them?
Yeah, I did.
How much did it cost?
Oh, it's a long story. It was that porno king guy who left the country.
Hey, we're getting horrible feedback here. There we go.
Oh, wait, you doing? You okay now?
Yep. Let's get some calls going, shall we?
All right.
It's Allie 38, a follow-up on something Heidi said.
Oh, no.
Allie? Hi.
I was just wanting to make a comment about Heidi is so right. my husband likes oral, and I'm not real fond of it, but he puts the money down, and
doesn't he get it better, right?
He gets it better. Yeah. And
help us understand that as men.
Where does he put the money down?
Well, sometimes it's in an envelope. It's just, you know, and he gives me a card. He doesn't even like to buy gifts, but he gives me a card, and it's full of $100 bills.
Are you pretending that you're being a prostitute?
No.
It's just a mental thing. There's...
I want more money, and he wants more oral.
You're fat.
Drew, please. Drew.
I'm glad you understand what I mean.
I understand it so much.
And it's so hard to explain because men just immediately go, prostitute, whore, hooker. And it's not at all
what we're trying
to say.
What? Help us.
It's trying to say, like, I'm going to make you feel much better, and you're going to make me feel much better, because by me doing this to you isn't really going to give me all that much pleasure.
No, he meant help us with a BJ.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, for a girl, like, on her hands and knees.
What if you were married and shared a bank account? Why would you... What difference would it make?
It's a mental thing. It's just, maybe the wife goes and spends the money on you, okay? It's
why
just
not flowers or something else?
Flowers die. Flowers die.
Diamonds.
Diamonds
right.
are okay.
Flowers.
You can put diamonds, will do. Diamonds will do.
All right.
Yeah. You get the right feel. Yeah. Diamonds will do. Any kind of giftage.
Trips, yeah.
Yeah, any kind of gift certificates, as long as they're over
Starbucks
certain
card?
No.
No, okay.
But to me, this sets a very dangerous precedent, which is I got to give you $300 so I can get a BJ for my wife.
I'm just saying, I didn't mean to say 300. Just as long as there's some kind of bonus there or something. And as far as wife, I mean, come on. After a while, sex can get to be routine, and you got to spice things up somehow.
No, but what do we get for going down on you? That's right.
Some men, they enjoy that. And
some women like
and
oral sex, too, though.
Yeah, that's true. You're both right on it, and it is you just got to figure out that medium in between with your relationship.
All right.
Adam, what was your analogy for oral sex with girls and guys? It was sucking on a finger or sucking on an open wound?
Yeah, it was something like that.
It was good.
Who said that?
Adam.
I can't remember what it was, but the point is it's a taller order for what we have to do. And yet we're getting no compensation for it.
Some girls hate it.
They shouldn't do it.
Hate receiving it, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But,
very few, though.
Yeah. Right,
just keep going forward here.
Phil, 22.
How you doing?
We're good. Phil's calling from Maui.
Yes.
Good times.
I just had a question. I just want to know, my wife was molested when she was younger, and I want to know if there's anything I can do to make her feel comfortable during sex.
You got to pay her off, right?
We've learned one technique.
Yeah. Go slow.
Yeah. It's going to be a problem maybe always. Does she have any therapy for it?
No, she don't really try to talk to me about it. I've tried to ask her to talk to me about it and everything.
The problem when people sort of close it out like that and say, well, I dealt with it, is they may have dealt with it on one level, but on another it leaves a very implicit kind of memory and scar on their biological system, on their brain. And one of the consequences of that is that they relate in sort of predictable ways in their relationships, and particularly in their sexual encounters, where it can be sort of uncomfortable or traumatizing or difficult. And unless she really works at it and gets some treatment, it's not going to change.
I say you go slow, a lot of foreplay, massage her back, talk to her.
I have done everything I possibly can. Just sometimes we get into it, and she tells me stop, quit.
Tell her, call me daddy. Just kidding.
And another thing, when during sex, after she has an orgasm, she hurts. Now, is that normal?
Maybe you better find a new girl.
Is she on medication?
They're married. Come on.
Oh.
Is she on medication?
No, she's not.
This happened before you get married.
I like Heidi thinks women are just disposable, like yeah, Kleenex or something. Hey, get a new one, get a different one, different size.
Well, I think the same thing about men. So,
well, here, ultimately, Drew's right. I mean, if she was sexually abused, she's got to get therapy. And that whole part where she's fine, it's past her. That's BS. Because she's having pain. She doesn't.
Wait,
want
did
to
she?
Get on
but
top
but
of her.
Pre-marriage, did she complain and all this go down as much?
Yeah, a little bit, but it really didn't affect our relationship at all.
It's now starting. How long have you been married?
We've been married for 3 years.
All right, so it's time for her to get some treatment.
It's manifesting.
I guarantee you it has more manifestations than just here. This is Maddie, 28.
Hi. All right, I'm having problems having an orgasm, and I used to be able to have them, but now it's getting more and more difficult to have them, and I'm wondering if anything can be done.
Hitachi, magic wand, can't beat it. It works every time.
Vibrators aren't working for me.
Again, no medication.
Are you on Prozac or something?
Yeah.
No, I have multiple sclerosis and I'm on lots of medication.
All right, well, MS can cause orgasmic function just by itself. Yeah. What do you want, copolymer or something? What do you?
Beta Seron and muscle relaxers.
The muscle relaxers, which ones?
Baclofen? Tegretol, Baclofen, Ultram.
Okay, the Ultram will definitely affect your orgasmic function.
Mm-hmm.
The Robaxin can, or the Baclofen can, rather.
But you should try that all-new herbal Viagra gel or something.
Okay.
Viagra.
She has MS. She got brain plaques, and it's going to...
She's concerned about achieving orgasm. Want Viagra gel or some kind of...
The Viagra gel just changes blood flow. It's not going to change the sympathetic autonomic tone.
Wait, there's a special new kind that I'm going to be endorsing that works.
Well, what do you do? Oh, for MS patients?
No, for orgasms.
Yeah, but she has MS. She has the system isn't operating.
This special new cream that I'm going to endorse soon, I don't know the name of it yet because I can't remember it, but it's supposed to, if you have MS, you'll still be able to function sexually.
How?
I
don't have
all
the information
with me. No one talked to you about MS, Heidi. What are you, high? No one said anything to you about
MS. I'm endorsing my product.
I know, but you don't even know the name of the product.
It's something would do with female genitalia.
The Ultram and then the Baclofen can block it as well. So you got to look into this. Talk to the neurologist, all right?
Okay.
And Heidi, what do you do? Do you rub this on the vulva?
The company, I think Ron Jeremy does an infomercial late night.
It's good.
It's got to be good. Then.
And then they came out with a women's cream, and it has supposedly some special stuff in it that makes you feel real, real good during sex. It gives you an extra kick, and they sent me some samples. I'm going to try it out and have some friends try it out and see what I think about it.
Here's what it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's just basically mentholatum. It gives
menthol.
A little tingling.
Menthol.
Yeah.
Oh no, I think there's more to it. This has been scientifically researched.
Edgar.
Yeah, by Ron Jeremy in a Hawaiian shirt.
We'll see.
With his pants down.
We'll see. I'm going to take this very seriously before I put my name to something.
Edgar 18, but you better not say things about severe neurologic diseases
on people with MS, it works. By golly.
What if it does? What if all of a sudden she's just like orgasming nonstop?
Then it's not the MS that's causing her the problem. The fact is, it's like saying...
You're in the medical profession, so I can't even...
It's like
you
saying...
You know more than me.
Argue with him. Who
no,
cares?
He's the doctor.
Edgar, what's going on?
Respect the doctor in the house.
He uses his first name. Can you really believe him?
I know.
he naps and masturbates all day long. And
wait a minute. That's
just lays
off
around
the sofa,
and eats.
Comes in at night. Please.
Edgar 18.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, your show is fabulous.
Great.
Really cool. And the thing I wanted to say is one time my girlfriend, it was her birthday, and I bought her gift and everything, but right before I dropped her off at her house and everything, I slipped hugged her and I put a $50 bill in her pants without her knowing. She thought I was just, going down and caressing her or whatever. And... Later she called me up and she got really offended. She said that she didn't need my money. She wasn't with me because of my money, and she got really angry. And that's pretty much it. Yeah. I just wanted to tell Heidi that. They're not all like that.
Yeah, you're right. That definitely goes against the grain, but you also, it's a different context. It sounds like you were in a new relationship.
You see, it's this way to spice things up when things have been going for a while.
Yeah.
And Heidi's saying $50 ain't enough.
Yeah. We sort of struck
a chord
here.
Especially when you're kissing, you don't slide it down the back of the pants there.
Here's Brian. Another question about this. 20. Brian?
Yeah. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, hey. I just had a comment on this. Giving your wife or girlfriend money to pleasure you doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you have to do that if you guys are in love?
How come all men don't agree with me, but most women do? That's what where there's some kind of check and balance thing here. We have to, all of us, got to think about.
Oh, there's probably, there's probably women who disagree with this, too, I would
they
imagine.
They would say, I would never take that, that's horrible, but inside they want that, trust and believe
they're
it.
They're liars, like all women, right?
Yeah.
Disposable.
Lying, rotten, bit.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Erica, 21.
Evil.
Hello?
Hi, Erica.
Hi, I recently lost my virginity about 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And the first time I had it, of course, it hurt, you know, because I lost my virginity. And then, you know, a couple times after having sex with this guy, it just didn't feel good. I mean, I really wasn't getting wet, and
that's the same.
I mean,
normal.
Huh?
That's normal. Yeah.
Okay, well, I wasn't feeling anything, you know. And we've done it, you know, about 6 or so times. And, I mean, we've done it in different positions, and we've done it, like, you know.
And he's probably in heaven, right?
Huh?
He's probably in heaven, and you're hating
him. Yeah. He's, you know, he's loving it, you know, and it's just boring to me. You know, it's not, I mean, the
Why did you wait?
You know?
Why did you wait until you're 21?
Well, I waited just because I'm a Catholic, you know, and I wanted to stay as good
purgatory.
As I can, you know. You know, and I just wanted to wait until I was old enough to handle the responsibility. You know, if I got pregnant or anything, then, you know, I have my own place, I got a job, you know. That way I don't have to depend on a guy or marriage or anything.
It's the guy. You're obviously, so there's going to be one time when you stand near a guy and you're going to get this pit in your stomach and you're going to hands and feel all those chills and feel weird, and you're going to know that one is going to make you feel real, real good.
Yeah, well, I guess my question is, hey, whenever we talk to someone who kept their virginity until the ripe old age of 21, it always smacks of a handful of issues. Doesn't mean they're nuts. It just means they're less likely to enjoy sex the later they wait for some reason. And I don't know what the average is, but after 17 and a half or 18, each year you wait after that, it gets a little bit weirder.
Yeah, they read too much into it. It comes too much of the thing over their head.
It becomes an issue. And I'm wondering, this guy doesn't sound like he's the world's greatest lover either.
Right. That's what Heidi was saying.
But I think they need to just tweak, you know,
work
just
it out.
Break themselves in, find each other.
And
communication.
And when we get back, we have a female who disagrees with Heidi.
Shocking.
I knew that someone would.
Yeah, of course.
Uh-oh, a Heidi hater. Lots of them out there.
After this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm over here at Jimmy Kimmel Live. Dr. Drew is out at Westwood 2, as we like to call it, sitting with Heidi Fleiss. Name of her book is Pandering, and that is chock full of... you know what else is good about it? I haven't seen it, but just hearing it described. I love looking at a book that has actual documents and court
you
papers
would love this
and
thing.
Things like that.
You don't have to even read and you have an experience.
It's very factual. I try to back up everything I say in there.
All right. So that is
it's available everywhere right now, too. Besides HeidiFleiss.com, you can get it at every bookstore. And if it's not there, email me and I'll make sure they carry it.
Good times. Drew, you got a call?
I'm just looking at a picture of a girl that she went to prison with, and she has a little caption that says, "This girl was nearly beaten to death. She was hit repeatedly by another girl swinging a lock inside a sock over nail polish."
Isn't that crazy?
Nice.
She was in the hospital, like a prison hospital, for days.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's crazy. You know, it's a whole nother, so antisocial. It's like a little bit of problems readjusting.
You're saying being beaten with a lock inside a sock is antisocial? I don't agree with that.
I think at home when you fight over the TV channel, that should be the way to whoever, you know, just use a lock and a sock.
Right.
This
All
is
right.
Ann, 20. Ann.
Hi, guys.
Don't cream me, Ann.
No, I won't. I, you know, first of all, congratulations on your book. I think that's great.
Thank you.
But the only thing I have an issue with is, you know, the reference to the money on the dresser and all that stuff really bothers me, because you have had an abstract lifestyle compared to most average women. And so for you to get on the air and
it could be a present.
Want that.
Mm-hmm. No, could, no,
you're
you
right.
Said
it could
cash.
Be, okay, cash. It could. I said diamond earrings were fine. Not, Drew, didn't I say diamond earrings were fine?
Diamonds.
I don't think most women relate it to, you know, directly to giving a man oral sex at all. I think it's the issue of feeling appreciated by your man, whether it be through gifts or through affection. And if you feel like returning a favor to show him how much you care, great. But just to link that directly, I think.
What you're saying is what I mean, and you could be right. But sometimes it's easier to phrase it the way I am than the way you are. But you, exactly what you are saying about appreciation and just saying.
Oh, Heidi, don't back off your point.
It is my point, though.
Cash never hurt.
Cash always helps, but it has to do with appreciation. When a guy does show that he cares about a girl, and so she doesn't have to stress over this or stress over that, or just make her life a little easier.
But see, yeah. I just don't see the connection, just because I, you know, going to university, I talk to young women all the way up to, you know, in their age 40 all the time, and all they're looking for is a man to treat them with respect. But then when another woman gets on the air and suggests that there's a direct link between, you know, sexual favors and money.
Well, I think the money is respect.
All right, well,
I guess
listen.
That's where we differ.
All right, we're all right, but I'll tell you my technique when I need some oral from the missus.
You're famous.
I take some nice diamond stud earrings, and I take a nice tennis bracelet, and I put it in a sock, and I swing it around and beat the crap out of her with it until she blows me.
Jesus Christ.
Are you married, Adam, now?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks, baby. I know it breaks your heart, right?
I know a lot of people stalking you. There used to be one before I left.
No way.
Really?
Before I left.
Stalking him?
There are kids that would come into Heidi where they'd ask me all kinds of questions. Why are you asking me? I'm not friendly with them.
Wow.
That's weird.
She's gotten married. All right. Who's next, Drew?
This is Patrick, who is 28.
Hello?
Patrick?
Hey, what's up? This is Adam.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Adam? I had a question. Hi, Heidi.
What's going on?
Hey, I travel a lot, and speaking of the, what you call it, prostitutions, well, they call it escorts or massage parlors, whatever. I've been going out, I mean, I do that a lot. Well, not a lot, only when I travel, because I'm by myself and bored.
And of course, and you need company. It's, you know what, if it's one night or for a lifetime, we can't go through life alone. Companionship is vital.
Right.
Well, yeah, actually, I don't have a problem with companionship. The only thing, the question was, I know you probably can't tell me, is that, I mean, I could afford these women and all that, you know.
Well, now with the internet, it's like a free market.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They got some, like, cityvibe.com.
What is the question, Patrick?
The question is, I want to upgrade to better women, like, you know, like how those Czechoslovakian women that you see in Hollywood. I mean, I live in L.A. You probably don't have, you probably have the contact, but should I ask, like, the CEOs or the people in my company, the big ballers, like, who they go through? Or,
yeah.
You're trying
yeah.
to find out where the best-looking girls are for the best price.
Yeah, I'm trying to these little massage parlors, oh, you know. Really?
Yeah, Patrick, here's what you need
I'm
to do.
I'm out of the business. I'm a publisher now, but I wish I could help you.
Next time...
Back in the day when I met them, they were all Mrs. Russia, or Ms. Russia.
They have themselves like a nice board meeting or something next time with the honchos and the CEOs of the company. You just storm right in and start demanding names and numbers, all right? See if you can get a good feel for what these guys are paying, if they're getting a group discount. Is there like a
photos?
Card, is there a card you punch like at a sub shop, you know, where after your 10th blowjob, the 11th one's free? You need to find out all these things. Look, I mean, Heidi, am I right that the amount of money that you spend basically is in proportion to the women that you get? I mean, if you want to spend
you
15
get what
bucks,
you pay for. I mean, it's in my book.
Is it any different than buying a car?
Exactly.
I mean if you want to pay $15, you're going to get a $15 woman. And if you want to pay $5,000, you're going to get a high-class one.
Right. You don't want to worry about it in the morning if your VCR is gone or your DVD player is gone or your wallet has been stolen. You know, you want to know you wake up and either she's either gone or cooked breakfast.
Brian is 23. Brian?
Hey, what's up? Hello?
You go ahead.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew, Adam. Love you guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
Heidi, how's it going?
Pretty good. What's happening?
I want to know ways to kind of spice up my love life with my girlfriend.
What's going on with your girlfriend?
Well, it's just kind of like, I've been a little more experienced than her, but she's just really not into trying new things. And just...
Have you talked about it with her?
A little bit. Like, I've tried to, you know, try different things and stuff like that, and she's just like, she tries it, and then it's not like...
What do you want
okay,
her to
you know
try?
What? I think that... Have you brought home some pornos or magazines or anything?
No, not for her.
Buy her, you know, my suggestion, have a gift for her, and then get a little wild and crazy right after you give her the gift.
What about a little booze? That's my plan. A couple of wine coolers, vibrator. What about sneaking a vibrator into the room? What do you think of that, Heidi?
I'm not one that's crazy about sex toys. Like,
what? You mentioned a
that's when you're alone.
I see.
That. But I'm a one-on-one person. I don't need any kind of buzzing sound around. I don't like, you know, anything beeping or anything like that. But with your girl, I think that you should talk to her about it. Gifts work. I'm telling you, it's a magic trick. Giftage.
Well, hey. And I don't, I know we're talking about the sort of prostitution.
You got to take the prostitution element out of it. You got to just, women are more open. It's just something.
You know, listen, you know what Diane Farr said once? I thought was rather smart. She said, think princess. And
yeah,
the way you treat a princess.
Right.
The way you do it. And not to say, yeah, the old MTV Love Line goes, but not to the extent that. You treat her as a little child or something, but you just think about
spoil
that
the
kind
princess.
Of, yeah,
it's
yeah.
not. It's not just like you're this and that, and I'm you know.
Yeah, hey, I agree with that.
It shouldn't be derogatory. It just got to think of a different term as you do it, and it does have to do with appreciation. And trust me, a girl likes it, and they're gonna respond to it.
We got to go to break. Hey, Adam, it's assistant producer Lauren. Have birthday tonight.
Oh, at midnight. Yeah. Happy birthday, baby.
Hey, good times.
Yeah, Drew, wrap up for
happy
me.
Birthday, all right. You're not special.
All right there, buddy boy.
All right, buddy boy.
Is
hey,
it
good
over?
Times.
Yeah, you're a big boy.
Oh, no, we're coming back.
You and I are coming back.
Yeah.
All right.
Good times.
Nice idea.
Okay.
Well, Heidi, that about does it.
Thank you for having me on the show. Remember, pandering, Valentine's Day. Get
Keep
it while you
pandering
can.
That pandering, Heidi.
Yes.
It really is a very, very interesting book. I couldn't sort of... You notice I was the whole time kind of thumbing
Thank
through
you.
It. It's really
I know.
Amazing.
I'm so flattered. I love you for loving it.
And you have an interesting story, and we enjoyed having you tonight. So I really appreciate you coming back, and please come back again. This time, hopefully, it will not cost you $100,000 as it did last time.
Sex sells.
I guess so. All right. Well, this is Dr. Drew then on behalf of Adam Carolla. Tomorrow night we have The Guide to Picking Up Girls. This is sort of our Valentine's week, and that will cap it off. So this is Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Why are you looking at a slimy magazine?
Well, I like lesbians.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.